One thing that I know about you is that you're always in contact with your fans. You do a lot of fan events, conventions, things like that. And was just wondering, when people come up to you, what seems to be the things they want to talk to you about the most? What kind of movies or shows do they always want to talk to you about?
Well, for the longest time, people thought that the only thing I ever did was House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil's Reject. So there was a little information that had to take place there. And, I sent people to my website, and a lot of people, joined the message board, come on frequently, and become a part of the process, and that's cool, and I like that. What everybody has to remember, and some of these guys, since I've been given the permission not to hold punches, some of these guys just really don't get it, okay? People that are involved in this business. Those fans that come up to you as a celebrity or whatever it is that you happen to be are the people that put food on your table. And they buy the tickets, they buy the DVDs, they buy all the merch. They become involved in who and what you are. It's just a matter of respect to want to take the time to spend a little time with these people. I mean, they're extending themselves in a lot of cases beyond their means just to be a part of what it is that you're doing. So. It behooves me. It's my obligation, if you will, to spend the time with the fans if they want to spend the time.
When folks come up to you, and as you were saying, a lot of folks know you from the Rob Zombie movies, what movies do you say to them, you should check this one out. This is one I really liked. I thought he did a really good job in this one, or you might like this. What ones do you would you like to talk about more to people that you think aren't on their radar that you're really proud of for the work?
I think one of the best jobs that I've ever done was in a small film called Little Big Top. And unfortunately, it didn't get legs, And part of that was inexperience on the part of the producers and whatever. And part was just the fact that it didn't fit a niche. I was really kind of proud about that film and hoped that it would go somewhere, but it went absolutely nowhere. So we move on and, just do something else and hope that that clicks. I just finished a film that I'm also really kind of proud of called The High on the Hog. Just finished it like a couple of weeks ago. And we shot in the farmland of Illinois, which I was not aware even existed. But I'll tell you what, you couldn't swing a dead cat without hitting a cornfield. And it was kind of not shocking, but made me realize that, Illinois is not all about Chicago. I had a good time with that role, a good time with the people, and it was exciting in that for a lot of these people, it was their first film experience, and that just really struck home with me, and I felt really good working in that environment and being able to maybe pass a little knowledge on and be able to help in their process and in their growth. So, yeah, that was a good time, very good time. I'm hoping that it all works out, and I think it will. I got an opportunity to do a little teaching, which I have done for years with teenagers, but got an opportunity to kind of pass on some information, if you will. So that was good. I was really pleased to be able to do that.
Now, you've worked with just an amazing amount of people and, top tier, bottom tier, middle tier, all over the tier, every tier you want to talk about.
Ha
What was it like? I want to just kind of throw out a couple titles at you. What was it like working on CC and Company, especially working with Anne Margaret, who's got to be one of the most gorgeous women I know?
She is absolutely gorgeous. And we became really good friends through that process. I was not sure when I signed on if I was going to like working with her and Joe Namath. Joe and I became really close while we were shooting the film. It was just a really great experience all the way around. I was so happy that I was able to do that.
What was your role like on Busting, the Peter Hyams film?
Wow, that was interesting. I showed up the first day, my first day. They had already been shooting for a week. So we started rehearsing the first scene that I was going to do. And all of a sudden, the dialogue sounded totally different, something that I'd never read. And I said, excuse me, were there some, you know, changes in the pages here, some rewrites or whatever? Elliot Gould said, no. I think it was Elliot Gould. Might have been Bobby Blake. I'm not sure, but it's not important. He said, we threw the script away a week ago. So that film was done pretty much on the run. And that I like that kind of improvisational work. It's fun for me. I really love to do that when I can. They gave me the opportunity.
You probably didn't do a whole lot of improv on THX 1138.
No, that was very interesting in that we barely saw George Lucas through most of the process. We rehearsed that scene in Limbo, which was the only, you know, section of the film that was in. We rehearsed that for a week, and then we took a week to shoot it. But in the rehearsal process, he would come in the morning, and we had this rehearsal hall that they had rented. And he would say, okay, I want you guys to work on this, and I'll come back later and show me what you got. Well, okay. And he had hired, because I guess he saw the production and was impressed by them, he hired basically the cast of Murat Saad, the San Francisco production of Murat Saad, to do those roles in that section of the film. And so he would come back later in the day and say, okay, let me see what you got. And so we'd show him what we'd been working on. And say, okay, yeah, good. Well, you know, tweak this a little bit, do this here, and then tomorrow we'll start to work on something else. And day by day, that's just the way it went. It was pretty wild.
I seem to remember you talking a little bit about the realism in the film that Lucas wanted to have.
You mean when he took a look at how intricate the set pieces were, the jail scene there, and was pulling out all these drawers and everything was functional, and he opened one and it was a toilet, and he wanted me to find a place where I could put that to use. And I said, yeah, okay, good, I'll work on that. Well, that never happened. He's kind of a crazy guy, so that's cool, you know. And when you're George Lucas, you can do that.
He must have been a very different George Lucas then than he is today, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, very different, yeah.
Before you were scaring people as Captain Spaulding, you were definitely scaring a lot of kids when you were in Jason of Star Command. How was that?
That was amazing. They made a special deal with the Screen Actors Guild, and you know, nobody held a gun to our heads, and we accepted the deal. We shot 15 episodes in 5 weeks. I don't know if you know that much about production, but that's crazy. Nobody does that. So instead of having a script, I mean, we had this giant, actually, the 15 episodes were just one giant script. And so the way we were able to accomplish all this in 5 weeks' time was that we would shoot everything that happened in all 15 episodes in the control room all at the same time. So you had to keep track of what episode you were in and what you were doing and what happened before and where you were going with everything. with each and every scene that you shot, because you might be shooting control room in episode 3 and then next control room in episode 8. And you know what I mean? It was tricky business, I'll tell you.
I seem to remember that was a really wildly popular show for quite a while.
It was number one on the air all the way down the line. There was no looking back. We had it locked up. Unfortunately, the person that took over children's programming felt that it was not the kind of fair for children to be watching. And so the show was canceled while we were getting a 47 share every week. But that's the way it goes, you know. That's just business. You think you can count on something, you can't count on anything. But I had a great time on that show. It was crazy work, but it was good work. I don't know if this played into the demise of the show or not. I'm thinking that maybe, just maybe, it did. Because the person who basically was taking over the show the second season from CBS had her son come to work with her one day. And I was in wardrobe, and in wardrobe, I was 6'10", okay, because I had these huge platform shoes that I had to wear. So I was walking down the hall to do something, you know, somewhere, and they were coming in the opposite direction, and we met at the intersection of the two halls, and the kid ran into my knee and started crying. And the next thing I knew, we were out of work. But I don't know if that was the deciding factor or not. I'm not going to put anything on it. I don't want anybody throwing rocks at my house. Okay. But it was just, that was really kind of crazy the way that that show was so popular, and then all of a sudden, bang, it's gone.
I looked you up today on YouTube. I wanted to see your performance on Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. What was that show like to work on?
That was absolute insanity. That was so, yeah, that was so much fun. It was a crime to cash the check. We were having a ball with that thing. There again, very tight schedule. We would come in at 9 o'clock in the morning and block the scenes that we were going to do that day. And then we would be released to go learn the lines. And we would come back at 5, shoot the episode. And there was no take two. You either got it or you had to work your way out of it. It was amazing working on that show. And then in the process, I was offered a role on a TV series, and so I went to the, you know, the people at Mary Hartman, and I said, you know, they've offered me this role on this pilot. They said, oh, you know, go do it. And I said, well, you know, what's going to happen with the character while I'm away having fun doing this? And they said, well, don't worry about it. Let's see what we can do. Let's see how this is going to work out. And so my last day on Mary Hartman, before I went to shoot the pilot for McNamara's band with John Biner, I had to do all of my scenes in 11 episodes all in one day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Then what was supposed to be my last day on the pilot, they were very nervous, and they kept calling ABC and saying, you know, is Sid really going to be through today, and are we going to have him? And, you know, yes, yes, don't worry about it. So they finally got me on the line, and they said, you know, are you sure that you're going to be through? I said, everything that they're telling you is absolutely true. We are going to be through, okay? Well, what can we do for you? I said, get me a hotel close to the studio, and I will be there in the morning. Don't worry about it. We got this. Okay, so they did just that. They got me a hotel on Sunset Boulevard, about 2 or 3 blocks away from the studio. I walked in for the blocking session, and I had 5 more episodes to do my first day back. Having wrapped the other show at like 2 o'clock in the morning, yeah, it was a little crazy. But, hey, nobody held a gun to my head, okay? I wanted to do it, and it got done, and that was that.
Now, McNamara's Band, I've heard about this movie. I have yet to track down a copy. It sounds amazing, though.
I'll tell you, it was amazing. It was, first of all, it was Joey Pantaleone's first gig in Hollywood, okay? So that was kind of special. It was special for him, you know, and for everybody else. It was, you know, cool to be able to work with him. John Byner was an amazing guy to work with. He's just so genuine and everything. The problem with that show, the reason it never really went past the six episodes that we were contracted to do, was because Fred Silverman just loved that show. He just thought it was great. He was behind it 150%. You know, was doing everything he could to make sure that it all happened. But then he got this great offer from NBC, I believe. Doesn't make any difference. And left ABC for the other network. And when he did, ABC basically trashed everything that had his name connected to it. And so the series never happened. That's a sad story. We just keep moving on. See, I'm like the Energizer Bunny, man. I don't stop.
We see you, you know, in so many different places doing so many different things. And the one for me, being a fan of your work and a lot of the Jack Hill films, was when Quentin Tarantino put you in Jackie Brown and you had the chance to play off with Pam Grier there. What was that like working with him on that?
His energy is so immense, okay, that it's like working with him is like working inside a blender, okay? He's just energy, 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 energy. And you have to keep up, which is great. I love that because that's the way I like to work. You know? The thing that's funny is that he never told Pam that he had cast me in that role. And when she walked on the set and saw me, she cracked up laughing and just literally hit the floor. It was, you know, great working together again. If anybody has any doubt that Tarantino is an absolute film buff maniac, I can tell you that he spent the day reciting every line that I ever said in any movie that I ever made. It was crazy.
Kind of a super fan there in him.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, not just of me, just, you know, film in general. He can do that. He can do that with anybody. That's just the way he is.
I wanted to ask you also about him, that supposedly he had considered you at some point for Pulp Fiction in some way. Is there any truth to that? And do you know what that would have been?
Here comes that story again. Okay, let me try to put this to rest. I've been trying to, he's such a busy guy, I've been trying to get together with him and talk this thing out. I went in for an audition for it. I wanted to do it. He wanted me to do it. And I had this huge conversation with my agent saying, you know, God, I'm really tired of doing television and I want to, you know, do something that I got some time to do some character development and, you know, I want to work on films now much more than, you know, television because it was just using me up, you know. So the offer came down. He wanted to hire me. Okay, it was for a day. And if you remember the film, Marcellus was involved in scenes in four different locations. And I said, I thought we had this talk. You know, I'm really tired of doing this, running around trying to get 21 setups a day being more important than what it is that you're trying to do. You're trying to accomplish. And my agents at the time never bothered to tell me that Quentin doesn't work that way. If it takes a day, it takes a day. And if it takes 2 weeks, that's what it takes. He doesn't just stop because the contract says one day. Well, they never bothered to tell me that. So I had to turn down the offer. And it was crazy. I should have done it. They should have informed me a little bit more about, you know, who he was and how he worked. And maybe, you know, we could have had a really good time together. But that's the way it goes. That's one of those sad, sad stories that we all hear about. At some point in time, he and I will be able to sit down and talk about it. And I mean, I have certainly have no hard feelings, and I hope that he doesn't. I don't think, by the way, he's reacted to me socially, that he does have a problem with it. So we'll just spend a little time and work things out and maybe, you know, do something together again.
It seems to be, you know, when you talk to any actor about sort of, you know, how roles appear and disappear and reappear and all that stuff, that just seems to sort of be the nature of the business. Things kind of shift like that. And I think you would obviously know, you've had a, you know, the career as long as you have, that that just kind of, you know, the road kind of shifts like that from time to time.
Yeah, you just there comes a point in time you just kind of roll with the punches and try to do the best you can. I try not to offend people. I don't think I have to any extent. Certainly hope not. But people are funny, man. Oh, wait a second, that was the name of the TV show, wasn't it? You just keep moving and just keep doing your thing and play everything works out.
One of the things I wanted to ask you about was, you know, sort of during the time that you're working on all these different things, and I guess there was a little bit of a break in there, and then I heard you got into hypnotherapy. And can you kind of talk to me about how you got into that and started your own office? And what was it about that that was compelling or interesting to you that you wanted to pursue that for a while?
When I decided that I just wanted to kind of back away for a little while and see how things changed, if at all, I had to do something to make a living. And I had done a lot of home study in psychology just to better build a character, you know, and I had been doing that for years. And so I was kind of attracted to that area, but I knew that I did not have 10 years to dedicate myself to becoming a psychiatrist. Okay, I did look into the hypnotherapy, and it seemed like it would be a great fit. And I went ahead and signed up, and at the age of, I can't remember how old I was at that time, I went back to school, and glad that I did.
Being a hypnotherapist, like, what did you work with people on, and then how do you think that maybe has informed your work since? Did you take anything away from that that's helped you with the acting?
Yeah, I'm more able to read a script, look at the character, and give probably a fairly accurate profile of who that person is, and be able to, you know, portray them a little better. It was a very interesting process that I went through. And I'm so glad that I did it, because it was very rewarding, you know, to be able to open your door to someone who had something about themselves that they wanted to change, and be able to help them affect that change in their life. It was a very special, special time for me.
It almost seems kind of connected to what you were talking about earlier about doing classes and teaching young actors and things like that. I mean, do you think that that's, you know, is that part of your makeup, or just something that you think about as an artist that, you know, you want to help other people learn how to improve their craft as well?
I think that teacher guy has been hanging around in my head for a long time. I kind of gravitate to that. If I have some knowledge that's going to help somebody else along the way, I don't in any way hold back in terms of sharing it. There's that part of me that is kind of driven towards the teaching aspect of things.
You were telling us a little bit earlier some of the stuff that you're working on, but yeah, I want to know what else you've been up to lately.
Oh, man, I have so busy. I don't think I have a weekend to myself between now and the middle of November. Convention after convention, and I'm sure there's going to be some work thrown in there as well. It's like last year, I did 12 conventions and 7 films. I feel strong. I feel good.
I just read that you're going over to Sweden pretty soon for a convention.
Yes, I am. I'm there on the 6th and 7th of next month. Take my heavy coat.
Well, I hope that you have a great time over there. I've never been, but I hear it's wonderful.
Yeah, I've heard the same. And I guess out of self-preservation or whatever, I've developed this thing where I can pretty much have a good time no matter where I am. Somewhere along the line, I just adopted the theory that wherever I am is the place to be, and so let's just rock with it, you know.
So it looks like folks that are fans of yours are going to have just a ton of stuff that they can go see pretty soon. With, I know Lords of Salem is coming out. Didn't that just play Toronto last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah.
And then Mimesis is coming out around, and I think we're going to be talking to Doug about future plans for that. And then we're talking about High on the Hog. What else have you got? Devil in My Ride, is that one?
Yep. Yeah.
And then last time you and I talked, you were talking about Zombex.
Zombex is one. Yeah, keep going.
Go Straight to Hell.
Go Straight to Hell never happened. At least, I don't think it did.
It was a fun title to say, at least.
I guess I was asleep through it. I don't know.
I was going to say, Mike, that if you were going to say Go Straight to Hell to Sid, I go, that's not very nice to our guest. I mean, he seems like such a nice man. He spent an hour on the phone with us, and he's, you know, dealing with the pollen over there, which hopefully Sweden will be much easier on your sinuses and your allergies.
Yeah. All I have to do is deal with cold, but that's why they make boats. We'll have a real good time inside the hotel.
Really can't thank you enough for taking the time to talk to us tonight. It's always a pleasure.
All right, and the pleasure was mine. I had a good time.
Excellent.
Well, thank you.